Thank you. So the pastor mentioned, we were talking in Sunday school this morning, really the joy that we should have just because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But a lot of times we do, we get distracted by stuff and we don't really have our heart and mind on that. I know I don't. You know, every once in a while, you know how it is. Every once in a while, a circumstance will hit you just right and kind of get a little tinge of it, but like not like we should. But it made me think of what Paul said there. It's in one of the Corinthians, I can find it. But, you know, he talked about while we look on the thing, while we look not on the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. And that's kind of to the world. Well, that's foolish, isn't it? How are you going to look on something that's not seen?
Yeah.
But to the Spirit, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
right. And that just goes back to what the Bible teaches us, you know, for the things of God are foolishness to the fleshly man. Even in our flesh ain't getting in on that. It don't want nothing to do with that. All it wants is to get what it can get as long as it can get it, because it knows when this one is this life's over, it's done.
Yep.
But the Spirit looks on those things that are not seen. And I always, you know, when I tend to think of it, it's when I have, you know, I go to work, it's like I gotta be there at 8. So not real early. It's kind of just prime time that pretty much at any time of the year, it's gonna be daylight at some point during my drive. And usually not much into daylight. So it is absolutely just beautiful on my way to work. So I got a good distance to drive, it's about a half an hour, but I get to enjoy God's creation and the beauty on the way because of the place that I drive through, right? And so that's a blessing to me to be able to see that. And there are times that it really hits me, man, as much as I enjoy this and as beautiful as this is, I mean, to the point there's sometimes the beauty to me is almost heartbreaking. I almost can't handle it. And then I think about, and that's going to be better? Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine that. Like, all of the things that are perfect about this won't be there, but more. Like, even more than that, because that's what the Bible says, that it hasn't even entered into the heart of man. Like, we can't even, it's not even within the realm of us even imagining, you know, we can't do it. So all I can do is realize that I have that knowledge, that it is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. And, I mean, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? And that's just the icing, right? Because it's like that song says, he's going to meet us at the gate. And that's even a whole other thing, because that is not a master's job. He's not the dude that stands at the gate and welcomes people in. He's got servants for that. But what is Jesus? He is the ultimate servant. That's what he gave an example to us. He says, if I'm living like this, how much do you think you need to, right? Mm-hmm. And think about him girding himself and serving us at that very supper of the Lamb. That's another thing that my brain can't even, like, how could I even imagine that Jesus serving me? That's just, I can't get a hold of that. But we know that he's going to do that because he said he would. Right, so we got a lot to look forward to as Christians, regardless of what happens down here. And you know what? Most of the time, we got it pretty good down here. I'm just gonna say, you know, a lot of times when I look around my house and I look at what God has done for me, what He's given me, and I'm like, man, I don't care what the world says. I'm rich, and I know it. And I feel so sorry for the folks that they just have so much material stuff and it's never enough. They just want more. But I look around and see what God has given me.
Amen.
I'm sorry I am. Because I am, y'all. I know a lot of people get this idea that preachers are like a different kind of thing. They're like not normal people. They're different. But, and especially before I became one, that's kind of the idea that I still have, even as an adult. It's like, well, they're preachers. They're different than everybody else. No, we're not.
Yeah.
We are not. I'm so sorry. I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
I said, when we were praying, I said, you're falling for you. God's name. God, I can't even worship you. I'm not even good enough to worship you. What do I have? I'm nothing. But He's given me so much.
Amen.
Oh, but can I see pew sitting full of youngins and beautiful wife? I just, God has blessed us, y'all.
Amen.
Yes, and I just want us to worship Him this morning again. I don't have what it takes to worship Him. I know I don't. In me. It's got to be the Holy Spirit do it through me. That's the only way we can do it. It definitely ain't me, and it ain't gonna be any of us. It's the Holy Spirit. So, y'all, let's just worship Him this morning because He's worthy.
Amen.
So before we go on, I'd like to forget who had a birthday or anniversary this past week. Everybody, okay. Well, everybody's still 39 then. Actually, I'm not quite 39 yet. I got a couple months. But anyway, we do got much to pray for this morning. Who's got a request for prayer? Let's lift a hand. Amen. Amen. Remember all these. Remember, there have already been several requests that have been been mentioned this morning, and already they're trying to escape my mind. But let's see. Remember Gary Barber, Gary mentioned that she's got some more doctor's appointments this week, and she was mentioned that she's been told that she's going to have the surgery. It's going to have to be soon. So do continue to remember them. And let's see. I'm sorry, y'all. My mind just kind of left me. I do remember. Oh, let me say this. As far as announcements, I'll remember that. Remember Operation Christmas Child. Collection week is November 18th through the 25th. Miss Edna can take boxes for us. If she's going to take them, we need to have her here by the 27th. But then, like, if you happen to miss it, there's all kind of places. And if you look up on their website, you'll see where there are drop-offs. I think in the past, ever Chevy and Hickory has been one that's really near where I work, so it's one that I know of. But just look on their website. They'll tell you where the drop-off places are. And just really pray that God would use that to touch hearts and lives. Because I think Preacher Franklin is pretty clear with his heart. Yeah, he wants to give to people, and that's what God puts in our hearts that we want to do. But most of all, he wants to give the gospel. Right? So just remember that God would use that in that way. And so be much in prayer for that. And also, I mentioned this Wednesday, Preacher Jim Ricardo has got some kids that he wants to take to church camp. And he said it's $40 a piece. He's got 25 that he wants to take, so he wanted us to present that to the church. Already some have given some money, or if you want me to, me and Sherry, either one of us, we can tell you. I wish I had written it down already. I didn't think about that. I should already have it written down. The address that you can send the check to, I'll go ahead and tell you the way that works is it'll get sent through the mission board that sends him. It's IBMA, International Baptist Missions for Asians. It'll go through Marietta, Ohio. There's a P.O. box you send it to. And then what you got to do is put on the memo line what preacher it's supposed to go to and what for. And then they have to forward it on. Because of the way they have it set up, you can't put it in Preacher Jimmy's name and send it through them. It won't work. Legally, they can't do it that way. So you got to do it through the mission board. So if anybody wants to give that, just let me know. We'll get you that address. If you have already asked me, then you don't get it from me. Text me. And remind me. Remember, election day. Election day on Tuesday. Pray. Just pray and vote. As I said before, I've got some more sample ballots. If anybody needs one, go in there and print it off. Or if we run out, I'll take a picture and send it to you, whatever. I'll tell you what my plan is. The Lord will allow me to do it. I'm planning on going vote Tuesday, and then I'll find out what I'm going to do. I ain't got no intention to stay up watching TV because, one, they ain't going to know, probably. By the end of the day, we managed to mess that up. But we don't even know, like, who wins for the next, couple weeks or whatever. Which, that is suspicious enough as it is. But third world countries can know by the end of the day what they think about who won theirs. But, you know, whatever. So, I mean, we've got to put it in God's hands. I mean, that's it. I'm going to go vote, and I'm going to leave it up to the Lord. It's going to be all right, whatever it is. It's going to be right. You know? So, just pray for that. Remember Ms. Vivian, she was at the ER, wasn't you, this week, that's what she was saying this morning. But just remember her and Preacher Billy.
I had a letter from our husband.
That was the part I couldn't hear, because one of my youngest, I won't say which one, was food. So I couldn't hear what you were saying. So you do have to go get blood. What was your blood at?
9.
Okay, so remember this. I think you said Derek and Katie aren't feeling well this morning. Is Lucy okay?
She is, but Derek's got a fever of 101. He come home yesterday from work sick. He still got it this morning, so we're praying Lucy don't get it.
Yeah, amen. We pray about that. I mean, I know the Lord will take care of her, but ideally it's not good for Lucy to be sick. So, is Ashley sick this morning? I didn't get a chance. Oh, that's right. Never mind. Pray for them. They're in West Virginia. So pray for them that the Lord would give them a safe trip. And pray for Krista. She's on her way home today. Is that what y'all said? In the morning. Oh, halfway. Okay. Yeah, she's going today. Okay. I'm going to halfway. Okay. So y'all remember her. She's driving. That the Lord will watch out for her and keep her safe. She's getting ready to be in the holiday season. We'd be doing a lot of driving. Just pray that God watch over folks. Now, is this... See, I wasn't here last week, so I don't know. Is this an announcement? Oh, is there play practice today?
Yeah.
5:00.
It is. Yes. 5:00. Okay, yeah. So it says, for those who already have their parts. So remember that. just pray for the Christmas plague, pray for Carrie, and she's still going to be healed up from this surgery. Is she improving? Is she getting better? She is? Okay, Carrie, good. Just pray that the Lord help her with that. That's something that I'll hardly be able to swallow. I mean, that's bad right there. And Karen ain't exactly, you know, got a whole lot to run on. You know, I've seen anybody there with, you know, she's got a whole lot of reserves there. So, you know, us skinny people, man, we can't eat as bad. It's a bad day. So, just pray for her in that. Who else has got a request this morning?
Thanks, Mark Rose, for the
last
services.
Yeah. Okay, who's preaching that?
Neil Walker.
Okay. So, remember him.
Pray for my girlfriend's dad. He's starting preaching at a new church today. So just pray for him. He's going to be taking an interim pastor position for about 6 months. Just pray the Lord and give him guidance and direction in that church.
Yes, amen. I know this. Remember, family, my sister mentioned to me yesterday. She works at a daycare, so she's got all kinds of stories. And I'll be honest, sometimes I wish she would tell me because I can't handle that stuff. It's kids or whatever. It just tears me up. But there's a family she really requested prayer for, the Weathers family. It's some kids that are coming out of an abusive situation. And I want to say it was their grandma was trying to get custody. But, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, there's some back and forth and you know, parents trying to get back involved. And I don't really know how all that works. I know some of y'all have experience with that, so probably you know far better than I do. But you know, my sister was just requesting prayer that God would step in on that situation and those children would be taken care of and be with the one that they need to be with, that they'll be, you know, looked after and loved and not abused. So that was the Weathers family that she and Jim Harry.
Don't forget about the candy for Christmas parades.
Yeah.
We're going to do 3,000 bags this year. We've got the lollipops pretty much covered. But we're not just throwing out candy, you know, the bags also lost the crack.
Amen.
I've got a bunch of them right here. You know, it was trying to get God's word out.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to do 3 parades.
Amen. Tell you what, that is an important thing. Because there's some of these parades you go to, and the only thing that ain't in the parade is Christmas. Right?
Yeah.
You got Grinches, and you got snowmen. And you got elves, and you got Santa Claus, and what that has to do with Christmas, any of it, I have never yet figured out. But that was kind of our disappointment. We went to Hickory, was it last year? And there was, what, like one float that mentioned actual Christmas, I think?
Yeah, there
were 5 inches. I mean, it was absolutely pitiful. So I appreciate so much what Brother Tommy and Sherry and them, they get together and they head this up and what our church does. I believe it's pleasing to the Lord. It's very important.
Thank God, it is for you. If you want to give money, get in here, Sherry. We'll see if you can spend right.
Yeah.
Sherry last year took some money from the South Club and bought a bunch of candy that we needed to make it feel out right.
Yeah.
You got to buy bags and all that stuff, too.
Amen.
So if you just want to give money, that's fine, too.
Amen.
And the candy has to be individually wrapped. It can't be like a bag of jelly beans. I throw a few in a bag, and
yeah,
that's what you wrap candy.
I don't think anybody trusts that at this point, right?
Yeah, I want to hear somebody call it bag of jelly beans, but we can't use it. It was pretty old, you say.
That's what you hold your dentures out with, man.
Keep remembering Fred that they'll get him on track where he needs to be.
Yes, that was another one I mentioned this morning. Brother Jesse was saying this morning he's improving, so I'm really, really thank the Lord for that. It was looking kind of bad there for a little bit. And I keep asking, and I don't know, because all I've got is her home phone number. Have you heard any more from Miss Patsy?
Yeah, I talked to her yesterday, and she's doing too good.
So is Miss Patsy still at Lincoln in the Greens, or is she at home? Or?
She's at home.
She is? Okay. I wasn't even sure how long she was going to be there.
She wasn't there at home. Rick or Diane wanted to stay with her all the time.
Yeah, okay.
And they took her back
and
down there. It was all good.
Okay, yeah, I remember Brother Bill. And I appreciate everybody continuing to pray for Jan, Christina's stepmom. God has really just worked in that situation. As I've said before, there's still things that need to be taken care of, especially I worry about her soul. I mean, you know, I know she's heard the gospel, but I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, but I know also that I can't have any way of knowing what the Holy Spirit may be working on her, but just pray that the Lord get a hold of her. And we're supposed to, after church this morning, get her from the rehab and take her back to her apartment. So just pray that God would help us with that. She's going to need a lot of help at first. She's in a wheelchair. She broke her ankle or whatever. So, and I know there's plenty of people in here that have been caretakers and have had to look after somebody. So you know what I'm talking about. She'll have to be helping her clean and do her laundry and all this stuff. So just pray that God would work out all that, and that in the end, He'd get honor and glory out of us. That's what we desire to see there.
Remember Greg's appointments and his boyfriend's dad, and then the girl that she goes to school with that her dad has away.
Yes, amen. Miss Brother Charles and Miss Jerry this morning, are they feeling sick? Does anybody know? Yeah, I know there's plenty been sick on and off. There's been a lot of sickness going around recently, so I know. And in general, when I don't see somebody, I figure, man, I got this cold bug that's going around. It's been through my house. They're just swapping antibiotics, basically. But they're doing pretty good with that.
My neighbor, Mr. Vance, last week, 2 days in a row, he had a heart attack.
Oh, man.
So, pray for him. I'm not sure whether he's saved or not.
Amen. Remember this. You said Mr. Vance.
Remember Jerry's sister, too, that were displaced for a while because of the storm. I think they're back in their house, but I'm not sure that they have power and all that yet. I'm not certain about any of that. But they are back in their house. It didn't damage the house, per se.
Amen. Thank you for that. That was one thing I was thinking about too, even just the way the Lord is working the weather. You know, when it comes time for fall, I'm ready for it to be cool. And I was out working yesterday, I sweat. But at the same time, it really hit me. Those folks up in the mountains, that right now they may not necessarily have an actual house to stay in, or they may not have no way to heat. I'm sure they're really thankful that it has not been as cold as it typically has been this time of year. I know we had that cold snap, and I'm sure it was cold up there. But, it's not been as cold as a lot of times it is this time of year. And that's the first thing that hit me. I was like, man, I may not have my preference, but I'm glad them folks up there are being taken care of, and the Lord's helping it not get cold so quick. So that'll give them more time to get in a place where they have some good heat and everything. So we just need to continue to pray for those folks. And may God help us to be able to put resources in the hands of those that are going and doing. And I know we can't all do that. There's plenty of us that, because of our jobs and stuff, we're just not able. But, it was just like read the other night where there was a situation where David and some of his men went and fought against the enemies. And there were some other guys that were left behind, and they were guarding all the stuff. And when it came time to come back, some of the men didn't want to share the spoils with them. And David said, no. That's not the way it's going to work. He said the one that goes to the battle is going to share the spoils with the ones that was staying back and guarding the stuff. Everyone had a part. And that's what the Bible says, that one sows, another waters, but God gives the increase. Mm-hmm. We are entered into one another's labors, and I'm so glad, too. I'm so glad that He works it out that way, that He lets us take part, even if we can't be the ones that are physically there. Pray for our pastor this morning. I know he desires our prayers and his family. Just pray that he'll have guidance as he tries to lead the church. And I know he desires to follow the very path that the Lord will lay out for him. Just pray that God would always give him assurance. That's what I pray for him. Lord, give him assurance that he's not sitting and wondering and worried about, is this the way the Lord wants us to go, or is that the way? But that God will make it clear to him, because I know that's a help to him.
Yeah. Pray for Peggy. I know Derek said another way she's been having headaches a lot lately. It's been hard on her. Just pray for her, and also pray for Brother Lee. And Candy mentioned her Uncle Tim Young, and I know him pretty well. And him and his family, they're wonderful people, and they're blessed. And just pray for him. She said he's been diagnosed with cancer. And ever since she said that this morning, that this fall.
mountains yesterday, lives in the mountains, and found out that they lost their home. They live in Black Mountain. But he said that the employer had been helping him with this, said they got him a new vehicle and had been helping him with, I guess, a place to stay. But I also heard yesterday that in Yancey County, where the majority of my family lives, only about 4% of the people are without power now. If the homes that are still existing, about 4% are without power. So they have just enough, they just work some wonders up there, just climbing those mountains and rebuilding.
Amen. Amen. So, like, the people that don't have houses, like, where do they stay in?
They're just tents. They're in Yancey County, almost 900 homes either are gone or are damaged beyond repair. And a lot of those people, they're just living in tents in their yards. It's just, as you drive down through there, it's just tents. But there's starting to be some groups, you know, come in and build like little tiny homes and just even like just sheds they're bringing in for people to have shelter and things like that. And their school's not in there, of course, right now. And so a lot of the schools are being used as shelters and they have showers and washers and dryers and cots for people to sleep on and they're feeding people. And so it's still a long way to go on there.
I wondered about that, if they were going to use some of those facilities. That's at least better than sleeping on the ground.
Even some of the, even like in the town of Burnsville, their water and sewer plants both got destroyed. So they're having to rebuild all that from scratch. So like they have raw sewage running into the rivers and stuff. And I mean, it's going to be a long, you know. And even the people whose homes didn't get damaged, a lot of them, you know, their wells and things got damaged just from the water table changing. And it's a bad situation. It looks like a war zone still up there.
Amen.
They need
prayer. Yeah. Amen. All right. That's all there is. That's all I'm says, Lord, for those who make a difference, live out their faith with kindness and care, who reflect your love in so many ways, big and small, thank you. Your kindness was very much appreciated. And it's a handwritten here. Dear church family, thank you for the wonderful food, fellowship, sweethearts, and lovely gifts. We are so grateful for the love and support you show in so many ways. We pray that God will bless you as much as you blessed us. We love you all. Stoney and Stephanie says, I thank God for you. And that's a summary of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3.
Pray God you'd add your lesson to the reading of it and help us to glean from your
word this morning. May you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, we want to get there to verse number 3, 4, and 5, and we want to look at that. We want to talk about that as being the beginning of the ministry of parenthood. But before we get there, we need to look again at verses 1 to 9. Like I said, I preached on this on Wednesday night a few months ago. How many of you remember that? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad a few of you remember it in any case. But as I get to preach on, maybe some more of you that was here remember. But in any case, it's going to be a little different. It's not the same as I preached the first time, but I used this same text. But just being as that we've been talking about family, we've been preaching on family, and that's the direction the Lord's brought us, and I believe He's also tied this in with it for us to understand this morning why it is imperative that we put so much attention and emphasis on the ministry that we have for our children. I want you to understand something this morning. I want to preface this by saying that the ministry of a parent is that much, all the much more important than anything that you can do here on earth.
Yeah,
a matter of fact, I spend more time ministering to one of my children than I do all the rest of you combined as a pastor of a church.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, then it ought to be that the number one ministry that you have in your life, if you have children, is as a parent, okay? And unless you're going to live your life as a virgin and you're going to consecrate yourself to the Lord for His use and to spread the gospel, if you have any ambition to have romance in your life or to be married, you ought to go ahead and plan on having children.
Yeah.
There is an ideology in the world today that's crept into the church is that kids are something that is interrupting your life. And how it has crept into the church, as many Christians will say, that the world has got so bad, I feel guilty to bring a child into it. That's what the ideology would be for the church. People that are Christians, they would say, you know, I don't think it'd be right to bring a child into a world that is like this. But I believe that what we're going to see here is that the Bible teaches just the opposite.
Yes.
That to have children and to have them is kind of like just built on it. The worse the world gets, the more the Christian ought to want to have kids. Amen?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what he talks about when he's talking about that quiver. Now, we ain't going to get that far today, but what I want us to understand more than anything is the need that we have to want to desire to be ministers to our kids. Now, some of you have kids that are still very young, like mine, and, you know, that they require a lot of attention as far as being able to correct them and being able to appreciate them at the same time. But, you know, they need chastisement, they need correction, they need direction. But even those of you that's, you know, if you're 95 and you've got children that are in their 70s, you're still a parent to those children, amen. And kids, if you've still got a mom and dad, you still got a mom and dad, amen. That don't change. I will say this. Now, we talked about this last Sunday, talking about marriage and those two which God have joined together. Let them have a little bit of something. That still remains the greatest relationship that you can have on earth, other than that of your relationship with Jesus Christ,
yeah,
is your marriage. And so the first ministry should definitely be that of your marriage and working on that. And it does take working on that.
Yeah.
If you've been married very, very, very long, listen. If you get along perfect with your spouse and there's nothing goes wrong, nothing else, listen, I worry about you, okay? There's something wrong with one or both of you, worth mine. You ain't human, all right? You may very well be some sort of alien life form. We can take you up to Washington and get you analyzed. Because those of us that's been cursed with this flesh,
yeah.
That is a very trying experience just to be married.
Yeah. Amen.
I love my wife to death, but somehow she has the ability to make me madder than the human wife. I mean, I'm serious. And you know, I have the ability, I can make people mad, but I make her extra mad. You know, and I know I'm hard to get along with. But for some reason, she loves me. That don't make sense.
So like I said, it's a very complex, complicated thing, and it requires a lot of attention. And so as I go into this, I don't want you to think that because we spent one sermon on marriage, we're spending four on raising children, that it's necessarily, that it's more important. That's not the case. But whenever it's concerning marriage, there's a lot there that the Bible talks about when it talks about marriage, but without having to go into great detail to describe to you what's necessary, a lot of it is it's just simple. It's just simple things and say, you know, this is the basics of it. But then other things that are not as simple, like, you know, raising children and stuff, you know, there's more content there, so we've got more to go over. But in any case, going back to what I said, like I said, don't misunderstand. That is still the relationship. That is the ministry above any other ministry, is that in marriage, to make sure that before anything else, that you are working on your marriage, that you are trying to follow God and be the best husband you can be and the best wife that you can be. That is what you should be working on more than anything, is that one thing. Before you have a friend, that friend or that neighbor or that cousin or mother or father or son and daughter that needs God, that you're trying to witness to, whatever the case, make sure that your number one focus is your marriage, because you two are one flesh.
Okay?
Amen. Amen. But to go back to this necessity that we have to minister as parents to children. Now, it starts off here, and this is the ideology, this is the idea, this is the concept that I want us to understand this morning before we leave, and it won't take long. I've said a whole lot of words this morning about things that did not pertain to this, but just to get us caught up to speed. And like I said, I'm going to go through this fast. I don't think it's going to take very long. But I believe that the timing of this is correct, and that's just to show you how good that God is. Now, mind you, before, let me also preface what I'm about to get into with this. Mind you this, we have been talking months ago. I made the comment that, you know, soon we would be, I've said it several times, that soon we would be doing a series on family. How many of you remember that?
Yeah.
Y'all heard me talk about that? Okay, so now we've got to that point, right? And I am not clever enough to plan things out this way, okay? I promise you that. It literally is just God forcing my hand, saying, this is the way I want you to go. If it was left up to me, I would get things all mixed up. I'm not an organized person. Ask my wife. She will verify that. But in any case, the Lord, He lines things up perfectly. And so, because this is where we're going to lead off, talking about, like I said, Lord willing, we'll be talking about the appreciation we ought to have children. And that's going to be found in verses 3, 4, and 5. But before that, verses 3, 4, and 5 are a result of verses 1 and 2. Okay? And so we're going to talk about verses 1 and 2. And like I said, I preached on this before, but just the timing of it, and what I mean by the timing of it is we've got this election right around the bend coming up Tuesday. And I know that most people, all of us, most of us are, you know, we're worried about different things in politics and so on and so forth. You know, what's the future of our country? I mean, there's so many people in this nation that have turned against God, that hate God, that despise God. We've got so many people. Well, there's a lot of politics now that are based, like basically it's almost like that they base their politics around everything that goes against the nature of God. God's Word. I mean, I've never seen such in my life, but that's where we're at today. And so it is concerning, and it is a cause for us to pause and say, man, you know, how did we get here? You know, one thing, one big issue is religious freedom. And I will say this, you know, God will ensure that you have religious freedom if you'd exercise it. We fuss and complain about, you know, when we feel like our religious freedom is in jeopardy, but when we have it, and while we've had it, we've not exercised it like we should or like we could. So that's one thing to consider. But the Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He said, except God is involved in the building of whatever it is that you're building upon,
yeah.
It says that the builders build in vain.
Yeah.
Guess what? You can go start a new church and you can offer people, listen, I promise you that we will not get out later than 11:50. You can say, I promise you, you can have all kinds of things in place that this would tickle the most Baptist to death. But listen, if God is not involved in it, then the builders, they build in vain.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you can build a nation. You can elect whoever you want to. You can get the right kind of president. You can get the wrong kind. Does not matter. Unless God is involved in it, they that build in vain.
Yeah.
Can I say this? That Kamala Harris is not the end of this nation.
Right.
Nor is Donald Trump the savior.
Right.
Amen? Let that be known. Like I said, and no politician is going to solve this country's problems. We've got a spiritual problem. And the Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God.
Amen?
Amen? Why is that? It's because we know better. Well, we are the ones that know better.
Yeah.
And so the Bible says this. It says that if we receive not chastisement from him, then we are none of his.
Right.
The Bible calls us bastards and not sons because we have no father. And if we was to be ascribed to a father, it'd be like Jesus said in John chapter 8. Ye are of your father, the devil.
Yeah.
He says he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth because he's a liar and the father of it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That is his native tongue. And that is the native tongue of a lot of folks out there in the world. You can watch the little three-letter learning word news channels, ABC, CNN, FOX, whichever one of them you want to name, and they're all biased. They all tell whichever side of the story they want to tell.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know what that's called? That's called lying, amen?
Yeah.
And I want to say this. This nation is in trouble. When you've got news outlets that are basically just telling you what they want you to know, and then on top of that, everywhere that there is a platform where anybody could speak, whether it be Facebook or YouTube or whatever it is, they're being censored to the point to where that free speech is not free. It's free speech, but it's limited speech, right?
Yeah.
Depending on what platform somebody's speaking on. And, you know, all these things are cause for concern, but like I said, these cannot be solved politically.
Right, amen.
This is a spiritual problem. I'm going to tell you this. You ought to go vote. If you haven't voted, you ought to go vote. I believe it is your duty as a Christian to exercise your stewardship.
Yes.
To go and to vote and to do it informed based on principles of the Bible. Like I said, you're not electing a pastor. You're electing a leader. However, more than that, much, much more than that, we ought to be at a place of repentance.
Yes.
And a place of prayer.
Amen.
Because Bible says that except the Lord build the house, they that build it are building in vain.
Amen.
The same sense with the same breath that we could fuss and complain about them teaching our children in schools about transgenders, and with the same breath that we're fussing about them going behind our backs and teaching all kinds of evolution and everything else in schools, and all this kind of wicked curriculum that they've brought into the public education system, with that same breath we'll go and then we'll say, well, I just don't have time to take the time out of my day to sit down with little Junior or little Sally and teach them the way that they ought to be taught, amen? And so we see that there is a need there for the ministry of parenthood. And what I mean by that is it shouldn't be that the school, hey listen, the school, they come to you and they say, this is how wicked it is. This is communism. Hey, every time I drive by Eastburg Middle School and I see that sign out there that says, our attendance, that they're so proud of their attendance, I want to cut it down. I do. I want to get out there with a torch and drop that thing right in the yard. You know why? Because it's communist is what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just venting to you a little bit. I ain't going to say that's the right thing to do because I know it ain't. And by the praise God, I ain't done it yet. But I want to say this, that upsets me.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they go and they punish you for not having your child there and not consequences if you don't have them in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
There's consequences you don't want to pay. You don't want to have to go before the board, worry about it. When I was in school, I remember when they started that mess. Used to be, didn't matter if you missed school, whoop-de-doo. You're going to make up whatever work you missed, and it was what it was. Then they started having all this bunch of mess where if you miss so many days, then you're going to have to go before a board, and you might fail the grade and all this. But that's a bunch of crockery. That makes me see you. Like I said, make a preacher want to cuss. I wasn't going to cuss, but I was going to say something I need to lie. But it does. It upsets me.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I know the two poor youngins, man, there's so many of them, but they need God.
Yeah.
I want to say this. If the Lord don't build a house, then the builder is building in vain. I want to say this. What can that coach do for your youngin at the ball game that the Lord can't do in the house of God? Amen. What can that teacher, what can that science teacher, that math teacher, what can that principal help your youngin with that God can't give them in the house of God?
Amen.
If the Lord don't build a house, then the builders build, they build in vain.
Amen.
Bible says that the Lord doesn't keep watch over the house. Amen. In verse number 2, it says, verse number 1, it says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I said this before, you know, I don't care how many Smith and Wessons and Rugers and Remingtons you got, unless God's keeping you safe, they ain't nothing going to keep you safe.
That's right.
My wife watches this ID channel all the time. I don't know if it's because she really does find it that fascinating or if she's plotting something. I'm not sure. I ain't figured it out yet. But she likes to watch that Investigation Discovery. Does any of y'all's wives like watching that? Look out. But in any case, they talk about on there, and you see on there all the time, man, the way that these people, these murders, I'm talking about these psychopaths, these people, it's just serial killers, it's just out to get somebody. The way they plan and prepare for that, you ain't going to stand a chance. They're not gonna come at you and come after you when they know that it's gonna wake you up and alert you and alarm you. They are gonna surprise you. The Bible says, like a thief that cometh in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
When no one's prepared.
Yeah.
They'll study you, they'll hunt you up. You ain't gonna know that they're there. They're gonna watch you. There ain't nothing you can do to stop you saying, well, I could. Well, I don't know. You might get lucky and you might not. But really and truthfully, this is what it depends on whether or not God does.
Yeah.
Because it said, except God, the Lord, keeps the city. It says, the watchman waketh, but in vain. By all means, I'm going to have a loaded gun at the house.
Yeah.
And somebody comes wanting to mess around where they don't belong, and they'll meet the rough end of it.
Yeah.
And I'll go to sleep fine that night. I promise you I will. You know why? Because I was doing my job as a husband, as a father. I was protecting my family. I won't never regret it. If their mama come to me crying and tell me, I'd say, listen, I'm sorry. I'd say, I hate it for you, but I'd say, I'm not gonna regret what I've done. And if you're a man, you should never regret that because you're doing your job, you're doing your God-given responsibility to take care of your family.
Yes.
Amen? That's not in the Bible. You find that in the Bible where we're supposed to feel bad about protecting our family. That's not in there.
Right.
That's what society will tell you. They'll say, oh, that's awful for you. That's not awful. You read the Word of God. You read how God tells men to behave and act and take care of their families, take care of their cities, take care of their nations and their countries.
Yeah.
Have a responsibility, amen?
Yeah.
I'm not going out trying to kill people or nothing else. But I'm going to say this. Just like I said, the Bible says, except the Lord keep watch over the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So that tells me that if somebody comes to my house, and if they're looking for trouble and I wake up, and I meet them with that wrong end of that gun, you know what that means? That means God delivered them into my hand.
Yeah.
Just like he did Goliath, delivered him into David's hand.
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? That tells me that the only hope I got is God Almighty.
Yeah.
Whether it's by some kind of self-defense or whatever it is, all that's in vain. It's in vain for me to have a gun loaded. It's in vain for me to do any of it. if God is not the one where my trust is.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
This is the thing. Hey, listen. You say, well, I trust God, but yet, are you raising your children like you really trust God? You say, I trust God, but I want to say this. Do you trust God like you do that education? Do you trust God like you do whatever else it is that you allow your kids to be involved in? Or whatever it is that the future that you think that they're going to have, if you take certain measures, hey, I'm going to say this, if you trust God, make it about God.
Yeah.
You can ask Parker, I've told him many times, I said, son, I don't care if you grow up and flip burgers, McDonald's, the rest of your life, if you're doing the best you can to provide for your family, and you love God, you take them to the house of God, I'll be proud of you.
Yes.
I said, that'll tickle me to death. You let any of my youngins serve God. I don't care what they do the rest of their life. They ain't got to be no president or nothing. They ain't got to be no successful at nothing. I don't tell you, successful is in the eye of the beholder. Now I want to say this. I think it's a great success to God when a man or a woman is able to love their kids enough to put them first in their life before anything else. Hey, before a job, before a dollar, before being able to afford things and go on vacations. When a family can put their children first, that's what you call God building the house.
Yeah.
If you love God, let God be at the forefront of building of the family. Hey, I want to say this. Why did God tell Adam? He said, be fruitful and to go and multiply. He's told him that because he wanted them to raise up people that would love God.
Yeah.
That comes from parents. How many of you, most of you is here this morning because you had a mom and dad that loved God.
Yeah.
That took you to church.
Yeah.
That taught you about God. Most of you are here. Some of you might have met a spouse, you might have had a friend, and I know that that's the case for some of you, but most of you had a mom and dad that loved God, that took you to church. Amen?
Amen.
I remember growing up, we didn't miss church, did we? We was going to be at the house of God. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Amen. I had a rebellious spirit. I remember one time, I was real little, I was probably, how old was I, about three? You know what I'm talking about? She already knows. I'm going to say that's the beauty of a mother and son thing, you know. She already knows what I'm thinking about. Just by what I've been talking about. I remember, was it a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening? It was a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning. She had me a new pair of shoes. Back then, we didn't get a lot of new clothes. Most of her clothes was yard sale clothes and hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Mom somehow or another, she had figured out some kind of way to con Daddy into letting her buy me a new pair of shoes, and she was tickled about that. And it's some nice little leather shoes with, you know, round laces. And she had them shoes on, and I hated new clothes. I hated new clothes. This is where Sawyer gets it from, if you don't know me. Because in new clothes, I couldn't get dirty, you know. And I can remember walking down there, it had become a big pouring rain. And Mama said, don't you go out there and get no mud on you. And in my mind, you know, the grass is free rain. She said, mud. So here I am, probably the grass, probably already covered too much dirt. And we're about to leave, you know, running late, like you do if you got three kids, that's what happens. And so we're about to leave, and I'm standing there in the backyard, and there's a mud puddle, and it's just soupy. It's coming pouring rain, I'm just standing there. And Mama, she comes out, she's standing up on the porch, and she can see me off down there, and she says, hey, she said, don't you jump in that puddle. Now, I don't know why she didn't say, get up here. But she said, don't you jump in that puddle. Isn't that what you said? Don't you jump in that puddle. And I don't know, I just looked at her, you know, and I thought, God, well, I got to do it now, you know. I know I was going to get a woman. I did. But that's just how, you know, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction, you're out of the doubt. I got a whooping, but I jumped in that puddle. She came down there and she picked me up. My shoes stained the puddle. They were suctioned in there. Boy, she was one more kind of upset. I'll tell you that. And so I had a rebellious nature, so I could only imagine, little mama, how I turned out, given the way that I was, had y'all not took me to the house of God anyway.
Yeah.
Just walked my hide in and took me on anyway with the old shoes on, amen?
Yeah.
I'm glad that I had mom and dad that took me to the house of God. And you know what? They got me into Christmas play. We had a Christmas play. If there's something else going on, we're going to go to that too. You know why? Because they seen the value in being around God's people and be having me at the house of God. Now, I never got saved until I was 18, but I want to say this. Had it not been that I was raised that way, I wonder how I might have turned out. Now, like I said, there's some of you that was not raised that way. And you still was able to come here and be here, and you're part of this now. It's because God reached into your life, wherever you was at, and pulled you out of that.
Yeah.
And I want to say this for some of us. That wouldn't have never happened had it not been that somebody loved us enough to take us to the house of God.
Amen.
Me, I'm so full of hell and so wicked already on my own that I believe if I wouldn't have been already pre-programmed, so to speak, by knowing and understanding that I need to be at the house of God and ought to reverence God, if I wouldn't have been raised that way, I'd probably be lost as to be today out there living for the devil, living like hell. I'd probably support everything Satan supports. I'd have a completely different way of thinking. My life would be a wreck. And I got what I got today, and I am who I am because of what God's done and because of the people that He put in my life to raise me in the love and admonition of the Lord and in reverence to His Word.
Amen.
The Lord built the house.
Amen.
And so what did mine do? Where is your trust this morning? If you truly trust God, this is the problem. We seem to trust everything else but God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We trust the place we work for more than we do God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that overtime on Sunday means more than being at the house of God. Do you not realize that God, that place is not your source. God is your source.
Yeah.
That is just a simple vessel that God chooses to bring a blessing and pour it out on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, as you're going in there working Sunday, if you need to go work Sunday to make overtime pay, that's scraping the bottom of the barrel. And you're in there, you're at the last little bit. I'm going to tell you, God might have a couple full barrels for you. Just waiting on the other side while you're over there scraping, just trying to get by. If you just follow God, if you just quit trying to get down there in the world and trying to scrape and all this, that, God might have something for you. Hey, what is your kids seeing you pursue? What do they watch you pursue? Except God build the house, the builders build in vain.
Yeah.
Except the Lord watches over the city. He said, the watchman waketh but in vain. The help that we need is not going to come from a politician.
Right.
It's going to come from God. He's the only one that we can trust. That's where our faith ought to be.
Amen.
I don't, hey, I'm going to tell you, come January 6, 2025, I don't care who goes in the White House. It doesn't matter to me who's going in. It doesn't matter to me who's coming out. I'm going to say this. I know this, that God's still on the throne. Amen.
Amen.
And guess what? One of these days, that White House is going to burn with a fervent heat.
Yeah.
But the throne my King sits on is going to last forever.
Yes.
And it'll still remain. And guess what? His word will still remain. Guess what? I'm sealed by the blood of the Lamb. My name is in the Lamb's book of life. I'm going to go on forever. I promise you, there's probably a whole lot of them up there in Washington. They won't go on forever. But I want to say this. I'll still be around. Amen.
Yeah.
Because I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's my hope. He's my everything. He's one that I can depend on. Hey, I want to say this. He's the only one that I can depend on 100% all the time.
Yes.
Can you depend on, listen, I'm going to say this. You talk about job security. I think I probably got better job security than anybody. I work for the federal government. They watch after their own bunch of crooks, right? But I would say the Postal Service could go away and not always be here.
Yeah.
They could very well. You know what? They went from one point in time they was going to quit delivering on Saturdays, and then they started delivering on Sundays.
Yeah.
They back and forth. They run like the rest of the federal government, pretty sorry. They don't know what they're doing half the time. And so it could go away. I can't depend on that.
Right.
That's not 100% dependable. my kids, you know, as much as they trust me, I'm not 100% dependable. I try to always keep my word. If I tell them I'm gonna do something, I try to always do it.
Yeah.
I do. But sometimes there might be something that just comes up and I just can't do what I told them I was gonna do.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
But God is 100% reliable and dependable.
Amen.
He's never let me or you down.
Right. Amen.
We can depend on him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. What is your trust in this morning, and how does that reflect the way that you are leading your family? How does that play out in your daily life, the trust that you have to God, the dependence you have on him, your faith? How does that affect your life? Do you have enough faith to follow God? Mentioned the Sunday school room this morning. Glenn asked the question of, it is a multi-part question, but one facet of it was that if there was something, this is what caught my attention, if there was something characteristic of a Christian that we would desire more for ourselves, what would it be? That's what all of us thought. Faith is trust in God. I definitely could use some more of that. Because when I trust God, I live that out. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, God, for helping us, Lord, this morning with it, God, and this preaching to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray, God, that you help us to trust you. Lord, I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, to have confidence in who you are and the promises that you give. Lord, that we'd stand firm on your word, that we'd hold fast to the convictions of your word that you teach us, God, that we'd just listen not, Lord, not to the wisdom of men, nor the philosophies of deceit that are sown into society. God, that we would adhere our lives to your word. Lord, I thank you for loving us and being good to us. I pray, God, that you continue to help us. Lord, I pray that you'd let every man here be a good husband, a good father, help them and encourage them. Lord, I pray that you'd help every woman to be a good wife and a good mother. Lord, that you just encourage them also. Lord, encourage me. I pray, Lord, that you lift me up, move supernaturally upon my heart to help me to lead. Lord, to do so with assurance and boldness, God, and trusting you, following you, and seeking to do your will. I pray for every woman that's here, Lord, that you'd touch and help them, God, to do the same for their husbands. Lord, every one of these, every man here, that he also would lead. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and being good to us. Thank you for this word we received. Pray, God, that you touch Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian. Help her with whatever it is that's ailing her this morning. Be with her tomorrow if she goes to get the blood. And this help will be a blessing to her. Thank you for answering prayer. Lord, you've healed some that's been afflicted among us. You've revealed some things, Lord, to some, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for watching after us and taking care of us. Continue to help and heal. For everyone that's mentioned this morning, so many burdens on so many hearts, I pray, God, you meet those needs according to your wonderful riches of mercy and grace. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus.